welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. We are in studio with Maddie Lee and Barry Trammell, the Oklahoman, at the Oklahoman Studios on this lovely Thursday morning. Nice and bright and sunny outside. I see not a playoff basketball in the sky for the Oklahoma City fans or the Thunder.
But it's usually been, it's just raining basketballs out there.
Not in the last 3 years at this time, but in Thunder history.
She was being facetious.
Yeah, oh, I missed that part. Maddie and I haven't spent a lot of time together in the past 2 weeks.
It's been a while. It's weird. We're off. Chemistry's all wonky.
Yeah, it's wild right now. Like, Maddie's hair is like down to her like back. It's crazy, man. Like, there's a lot going on that has nothing to do with the Thunder in Oklahoma City right now. But we're enjoying this off season. I'm enjoying the NBA. Non-Thunder related NBA. The Zion Williamson sweepstakes, the playoffs, the Billy Donovan rumor mill. It's a lot of things going on, even though the Thunder hasn't played in probably how long has it been since the Thunder played? About 3 weeks?
They lost on that it was a Tuesday night, so it's been 23 days.
Whoa.
About 3 weeks.
Really quick math. Mm-hmm.
Barry is kind of like a savant. He's kind of like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. Like, the numbers come very quickly to Barry.
Never saw the film, but I'm going to have to say it.
I've never seen it either.
Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah, he's apparently like a numbers guy, genius or something like that. Maddie, have you seen A Beautiful Mind?
No.
Is it like Good Will Hunting? Wasn't he, wasn't old Matt Damon?
Yeah.
With the chalkboard and the...
Yeah. At least you're not comparing me to Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, I didn't compare you to Rain Man.
Rain Man.
You're not counting cards and like burning toast and stuff like that.
3 minutes to Wapner. One of the all-time great lines.
It's great.
We still use it.
Tom Cruise, underrated performance in Rain Man. I thought that was one of Tom Cruise's better performances.
Rain Man was good.
Don't at me.
Tom Cruise, two movies set in Oklahoma.
The Outsider. Wait, is it called? Is that what it's called? The Law?
No, the one we're talking about is Rain Man.
Rain Man.
The other one was Far and Away. He was in the Oklahoma Land Run.
Well, there's also the one with the kids, the Greasers.
Was he in that? Tom Cruise was in the Outsiders?
Tom Cruise was in the Outsiders? I'm pretty sure Tom Cruise was in the Outsiders. It might not have been.
Are you trying to tell me that Tom Cruise was in the Outsiders?
Google it. My internet's not working.
IMBD.
I'm pretty sure, and I've never seen that movie either. But
set in Tulsa.
I'm pretty sure.
Cast. Here's the cast.
Tom Cruise was in the Outsiders.
Matt Dillon. Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez,
Ralph Macchio,
Tom Cruise.
That's three.
Eric the Red, dominating play.
Thank you. And I think that was like I got my tooth fixed, ooh. Tom Cruise, so he had kind of like a tooth thing going on.
Diane Lane was in the Outsiders.
Outsiders had some star power. Young.
When was that? 1983? Is that when they?
Probably
1983.
Good hit.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Tom Cruise, Outsiders. Thunder, Outsiders in the playoffs right now. We're down to four teams. We're down to Milwaukee Bucks. Toronto Raptors just started their series yesterday, a couple days ago. We get Golden State and Portland. And they're going to play tonight. By the time a lot of you all listen to this, they're going to be two games in. I don't know where to start with these two series, really. We can kind of just touch on where we've been since the last time we jumped on the podcast. I mean, I guess we've seen...
Because the way we got here...
How did we get here?
Well, just the Game 7s. Fascinating. So much fun.
I'm going to have to recall actually what happened.
You're going to have to recall what happened?
Okay, well...
In Game 7s?
Okay, not the Toronto one, obviously. That one was incredible. The ball's still bouncing.
Portland-Denver, just a great game. Denver led going into the fourth, and then Portland came back and sort of just held them off.
Joel Embiid still crying. The Kawhi ball still bouncing. Brett Brown probably in the Billy Donovan doghouse among Philly fans for those three faded possessions before the Jimmy Butler layup to tie the game. Really fascinating, like y'all were saying, really fascinating ends to those series. Exciting ends, one of the best shots we've seen to close a series. And we've seen some shots to close series in the past few weeks. Damian Lillard.
Yes,
nobody's talking about that one anymore because Kawhi is incredible. But
although you do see a lot of those two pictures side by side.
It's been a fun playoffs, I thought, considering that the first round wasn't super climatic.
The semis were much better.
Yeah, Thunder Blazers might have been the most exciting. I'm trying to think of another
Denver San Antonio
round.
Was
yeah, that was
seven.
Thrilling.
I don't know what it was. Didn't have a lot of late game. None of the series had much late game dramatics outside of Lillard. He said,
"Yeah,
there were no games went down in the last 30 seconds." So,
yeah, at least I got a couple more games in there. If we're gonna tie Thunder in here, makes Thunder look a little better that Portland beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, it does. I think Portland's a good team.
Yeah, Portland's solid. And look, if the Thunder got through to the Nuggets, I don't know how long the Thunder would have lasted. I personally don't think they would have made it as far as Portland did. Just because you just have some fundamental issues with the Thunder that kind of doomed them this playoffs. Namely, Russell Westbrook couldn't make any shots. One of the biggest takeaways I've taken from what I've seen in the playoffs thus far is a lot of people want to talk about like the scheming and some of the deficiencies the Thunder had in terms of their coaching. A lot of this stuff just come down to dudes just making shots. And the Thunder didn't have any guys that could really make a ton of shots.
Or, as it were, not letting the other team make shots. It's two ways. I mean,
because, look, a lot of people want to crap on Brett Brown for not having – those guys prepared or what have you in those three possessions that they didn't get anything off. And it's really inexcusable. Like, they've got to do a better job as a team of being able to get into a set and get shots. But Toronto defended the hell out of those guys in those three possessions before Jimmy Butler hit that shot. They tried to run stuff. Like, they tried to, like, get into a proper set and, like, get a shot. And Toronto was just all over them. Like, Kawhi Leonard's a good defender. Pascal Siakam, Kyle Lowry. Like, those guys are good defenders. So, like, to me, you see it a lot in this playoffs since the Thunder's been out of, defense is stepping up at the right time, whether it's Milwaukee or Toronto or Golden State turning their defense up and being able to stop guys from getting shots, or guys just stepping up, like C.J. McCollum losing his mind in game seven.
Gosh, he's
like, like C.J. McCollum making high-difficulty mid-range shots.
Yeah, because how many points did Lillard have? Not many.
Might have been 13 or 14 in game 7.
In that second half?
Yeah, no, he didn't play great. He hasn't played great.
He looks tired.
Since game 5.
He looks tired.
Game 7 game series will wear you out. That's why I don't put a lot of stock in game 1 of Golden State. I think Golden State's going to beat them.
Yeah.
But not because of what I saw in game 1. You play game 7 on a Sunday, turn around and play game 1 of a next series on Tuesday.
On the road.
You almost never play well, much less win. That was an easy mark in terms of picking Golden State. So even last night with Toronto, who had an extra day, Toronto played pretty solid, had a lead going into the fourth quarter, but they were out of gas in that fourth quarter. I mean, Milwaukee would have won by 25 if they'd have played another 7 minutes. So tough duty to win a game 7 and come back and play against a team that's much more rested.
On the road.
Right.
And Kawhi and Kyle Lowry each got, 3-4 minutes of rest in that whole game?
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, you're getting to the point to where it's getting really taxing on these guys going through these deep series. Particularly, you've seen it with Damian Lillard. C.J. McCollum saved them in that game 7. You had to get contributions from guys like Evan Turner, Rodney Hood. Stepping up to the plate. Guys that were just virtually invisible in the Thunder series stepped up in that game 7. And as that series with Denver went on for the Blazers, like, you're starting to see that fatigue from Damian Lillard. Like, he's not commanding the ball on every possession the way he was against the Thunder. He's letting C.J. McCollum, like, kind of take over the offense. So this is where, guys are starting to wear out. And, you got to credit to Golden State for being able to get through that series without Kevin Durant in those last two games, particularly since their guys are playing so many minutes right now.
Well, it's a case of the two best teams are Golden State and Milwaukee.
Seems like it.
And for these, Portland, Toronto could win. Portland probably can't win. But they got to play really well, both Toronto and Portland. Ennis is, you know, the Oregon senator is seeking a help assurance that there will be no visa nonsense if the Blazers play the Raptors. Ennis can
might
go
not
to
need to worry
Canada.
About that one.
Probably not going to need to worry. It's a,
I think Ennis will be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think Portland's getting that far, and I don't think Toronto's getting that far.
No.
What's been your favorite non-Thunder storyline of the playoffs thus far?
Ooh.
I'll start.
Start.
It's kind of gotten, I guess, thrown to the wayside because we've seen so many compelling games since then, and we started a new series. But what's going to happen to the Rockets? And the way that they kind of collapsed in the post-Kevin Durant injury games, you know, the last part of Game 5 and then the way that they played in Game 6, which I didn't think that they played particularly poorly in Game 6. It's just a game that you have to have because you can't – you just have to have that game at home, not only to extend the series, but that's your opportunity. When you don't have Kevin Durant on the floor, you got to seize that game. You know, I'm just curious to see as to what's going to happen with the Rockets. I thought that some of the reaction to their loss initially was, like, really drastic, as if this team is a complete failure. No, the Rockets are a really good team that went up against another really good team. Now, look, you got to win a Game 6. Yeah, frankly, they should have won Game 5 is the problem. If they win Game 5, they give themselves some equity going into Game 6. But – you got to win Game 5 on the road with Kevin Durant going out and close that one out on the road to give yourself an opportunity because it was only a matter of time before Steph Curry, you know, found his bearings, and it took him an entire half to find his bearings, which is crazy. But Steph Curry was due. I don't think the Rockets should implode their entire team. Now, they've got some issues going forward with Chris Paul and the amount of money he's making and such, but – this is a team that's been close for 2 years, and the Warriors might get worse just by just internal, you know, just internal moves with Kevin Durant going wherever he's going to go. So I think there's been a lot of call for panic from all these different teams, whether it's Philly or Boston or the Thunder or the Rockets. And I think the Rockets are kind of one of those teams that you don't necessarily need to, like, freak out and go change the entire thing. Not that they have a bunch of flexibility anyway.
Right. And it, you make a good point. Because we see that with overreaction from Thunder people year after year after year. You know, even when the Thunder was good, making the Western Finals 4 times in 6 years, people would get worked up. And what is that?
I don't know. I hope our listeners phone. Can't hear that. It's like somebody squeezing the air out of a hot balloon. Maddie, put that balloon away.
I don't know what it was.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
But yeah. The idea that, oh, you didn't win it, so you got to do something.
Blow it up.
Well, the storyline, sorry if you're about to say this,
no.
The storyline I think will carry on past this for a long time that ties in Portland's now become the poster child for not blowing
right,
it up.
Status quo. That's right. That's exactly
so
right.
I think Houston can look at what Portland's done and
well,
honestly
right.
what they've done in the past and be
I mean,
like,
they got,
tinker
you know, they got a
little bit.
A jillion dollars tied up in Chris Paul and James Harden. There's not a lot. And Capella.
That you
not,
can do.
There's not much you can do.
Now, what you can do is you, well, yeah, the Chris Paul thing's tough. You're going to, what the Rockets would essentially have to do is just be heartless, which I could see Daryl Morey doing, like being just cold and calculating, just saying, look, we're going to go and recruit a guy to engineer a sign and trade the way that we did with Chris Paul, and we're going to get this thing done, and we're going to send him somewhere else or something like that. But I don't know what team would agree to take on Chris Paul's money. That's the only thing. It's tough. It's tough at this juncture. But if you bring those two guys back, they could be good enough to challenge
them. They were good
this
year.
They were good this year.
I would probably argue they're the second best team in the league, the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
So don't go screwing with second best team in the league.
Especially
there's a lot
when people are about to move around.
That's right.
Season.
Especially when number one is about to take a big hit. The Rockets are like the Thunder, even more so. Whole lot more room to fall than to rise. Whole lot more room to fall than to rise. So don't go messing too much. The thing I would take out of this is, and I sort of realized this last night, I don't know why, I'm sort of enjoying the fresh meat nature of the NBA playoffs. We got four teams in the Final Four. Golden State, everybody's sick of. I get it. But the other three, yeah. Portland in a conference final for the first time since 2000. Milwaukee in a conference final for the first time since Glenn Robinson.
I think it was 01.
Was that 01?
Yeah. Big dog, Ray Allen.
Toronto in a conference final for the second time in franchise history or whatever. But we're going to have an NBA finalist, either Milwaukee or Toronto, that's in the NBA finals for the first time since either 1974 or ever. Toronto's never made it. Milwaukee hadn't made it since Jabbar was a young man throwing up sky hooks there on the bay, the banks of Lake Michigan. So that was 27. That's 45 years ago since Milwaukee made the NBA Finals in 1974. So to me, the freshness of the finals is going to be fun. We were all tired of Golden State, but guess what? We were all tired of LeBron.
Cleveland, yeah.
We were all tired of LeBron James. 8 years in a row in the NBA Finals. It was not the Eastern Conference. It was the LeBron Conference. And it's sort of nice to have some fresh meat.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like it's the beginning of the finals not being a foregone conclusion, right? Like, you assume maybe next year we won't be expecting depending on what happens this offseason, won't it be expecting Golden State to be top of the West? Who knows what the East has gotten good, and those top three, four teams have been really good all season. So, yeah, no, it's been a lot more.
And I think that's good. And here's the other thing. If Durant will just stay out, even the finals will be sort of intriguing. Because Milwaukee against Golden State with no Durant is a horse race. I mean, they got a chance. The Bucks have a chance. Yep. So I'm sort of fired up about the playoffs going forward.
If Durant will just stay out.
Just stay out.
Hey, man, for the good of an NBA.
This is what it's come down to. Hey, if that Kevin Durant guy just doesn't play.
Well, maybe he won't. Maybe he won't.
Look, he's like, I mean, a few days ago, Steve Kerr said everybody needs to slow their roll on this thing. Like, he's just getting back. He's not even back on the court yet. So, Golden State can afford to not play him in this series, frankly. He's probably not going to play tonight. And I'd expect Golden State to still win because Steph Curry's got his groove back. So I want to see Durant play against Milwaukee or Toronto. I would love to see Durant versus Kawhi. That would be awesome. But that wouldn't be much of a series. It wouldn't take long for Golden State to go through Toronto because Kawhi needs more help. I mean, you know, Kyle Lowry stepped up a little bit last night. Serge Ibaka stepped up in Game 7. Serge to the rescue with the Band-Aid on his head. looking like an alternate universe Nelly.
I've enjoyed watching the resurgence of Serge. However, he didn't play very well in Game 1 of last night.
A lot of those guys for Toronto kind of petered off at the
end. Danny Green and Gasol was terrible.
Like you're talking about. You know, short turnaround, road, 7-game series they're coming off of.
How about that? How about that? People get sort of whimsical when your team's out of the playoffs and you look back and you think, oh, look who we used to have and look who's still playing well. I found some irony in the Gasol-Ibaka front court for Toronto because think how many times those two went at it in Thunder-Grizzlies series. Those were some battle royales. They played 19 games against each other.
In the playoffs.
In a 4-year span.
Yeah.
And it was usually Gasol being guarded by Perk or Adams, but not always. Sometimes they'd move Perk over to Zach Randolph and Ibaka would guard Gasol. So I just thought that was sort of an interesting reunion, seeing those two guys together because they had so many great games going up against each other.
That'd be a cool story. Like, I bet there's a mutual appreciation club there from those guys doing battle against each other for so long and then becoming teammates and being able to work together to get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Of course, Gasol is one of my all-time favorite people. I mean, the Gasol brothers are just so classy, for crying out loud.
Gasol folks. Apparently, there wasn't enough culture here.
We got brothers in both conference finals. We got brother matchups. The only problem is Paul.
Paul's just
hurt and can't play for the Milwaukees. But we got sets of brothers on each bench in both finals.
It's cute. Lots of parents figuring out jerseys.
Maddie, what did you take? What are you taking from this these playoffs?
So I'd say my big one was the Portland thing that I said earlier, but what I my favorite game winner has been the Kawhi one, mostly because he's not a guy who shows emotion, and so that picture, like him, like squatting and hands up and just like so excited about that finally going in, that made it so much better. And he talked about it too afterwards about how, you know, like you essentially get used to doing spectacular things, but that was something he hadn't done before.
Yeah, like, and a lot of people since then have talked about how that shot could be something that could potentially, you know, be something that keeps him in Toronto or helps to keep him in Toronto because he had that moment.
Yeah.
He has that something to look back on, and it's something that he shared with Toronto. Me being the cynic I am, I was skeptical. But I thought about it in the moment. I'm like, yo, that's big. Like, he and his guys mobbed him, and they shared that as a team and a community. That's, like, big for Toronto. Regardless of whether he stays or not, like, Kawhi delivered for them this season anything that they could have ever imagined.
And it's at least a moment where all of that is so far away, like, so far out of their minds at that point.
And, you know, I'm actually for Milwaukee since I, you know, 45 years since an NBA Finals, haven't had much success. I'm pulling for the city of Milwaukee. But if you tell me that Kawhi getting Toronto to the NBA Finals will keep him in Canada, I'll fly the Raptor flag. I'll fly the Raptor flag.
Oh, man. I don't know how I'd feel about Drake getting to the NBA Finals. I don't know how I'd feel about that personally. But
that's another good story.
The Kevin Durant Drake angle would be fantastic because Durant would be hitting shots and running up the court talking trash to Drake the entire time. That would be fun. And then by the end of the series, Drake might be wearing a Golden State jersey. He might be wearing one underneath his Raptors jersey.
If he does, we know who's going to win. Toronto.
He should do that. He should do the reverse. Yeah, he should do the reverse. He should wear a full Golden State warm-up and warm up with them in pregame.
For all we know, right now, Kevin Durant is headed to Portland. He's having dinner with Mo Harkless in between games.
Mo Harkless.
He's exchanging texts with CJ McCollum. For all we know, that's his track record.
Ennis.
That's his track
might
record.
Be recruiting him.
Ennis might be recruiting Kevin Durant. That's exactly Kevin right.
Come here. Come play with us. Oh, man.
Tibbetts and all those guys.
Vanderpool.
All those guys that used to be here.
It was interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody about, and this will be a good segue into Anthony Davis and the Zion stuff. I was having a conversation with somebody about who could be that team that could pull a Kawhi this summer and snatch an Anthony Davis, because we know the obvious suspect, the Lakers, Celtics both want him.
Knicks.
The Knicks.
Clippers.
The Knicks aren't going to be able to get him now.
Clippers.
That's going to be tough. The Clippers could theoretically make a trade. There was even scuttle about, you know, him, Milwaukee being a destination that he would want to go to. I don't know how Milwaukee would pull that off, because they have guys that are going to be free agents too that they need to sign. But one of the teams that I threw out there was Portland. If Portland would do something that was similar to Toronto, like we've seen Portland obviously have great success with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but it would be a sell high prospect. And I don't think that they're going to split those two guys up now because they went on this great run. But Toronto went on they won 59 games last year, and they split up DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I was looking at it as you sell high on CJ McCollum and you say, let's go get Anthony Davis. I don't know if that necessarily even makes you a better team, but I think it gives you a different kind of upside as opposed to.
Well, I've seen, who was it? If it wasn't you, somebody else sent out Nurkic, McCollum, somebody else in the rotation. I forgot who. Maybe Zach Collins. I think that's what it was, Zach Collins, for Anthony Davis.
And then you get yourself a shooter to go with Drew Holiday and around Zion. Now, there's also the train of thought that you trade Drew Holiday if you trade Anthony Davis, so you can just reboot the entire team and they'll all be the same age around Zion, so they can kind of progress
idiotic?
Together.
Who says that?
I don't know.
It's idiotic.
No, I
let's
think
lose basketball games. It's idiotic. What are they trying to win the lottery?
Yeah.
You just won the lottery. People who win the lottery don't go out and buy lottery tickets. Did you know that? That's a fact of life
unless
right there.
Unless you're the 76ers.
Well, yeah, unless you're an idiot. But so, but the Pelicans do have all kinds of options. That's what they won Tuesday night. Options galore.
Hey, I'm happy for my parents, man, because they like going to Pelicans games.
Oh, well, good for them.
And now they get to go watch Zion.
Well, except the prices probably just went up.
What?
Did you see the celebration in the ticket office? Now, yeah. They were partying like it was the 4th of July. Yeah. It was Mardi Gras.
Because now they don't have to work.
That's right. Well, they can make people won't hang up on them.
That's true.
People won't say, who are the Pelicans?
I could not be happier for anyone in the world but Alvin Gentry.
I love Alvin Gentry.
His reaction was fantastic. Just unbridled joy and bravado. And I love Alvin Gentry because every time he comes to town, he always takes the time to talk to us. It's almost like he would rather talk to us than like coach the team.
Yeah, I love Alvin Gentry.
And he just hangs around and just talks.
And says interesting
stuff. Like calling Russell Westbrook angry black man. When Alvin Gentry was one of the coaches on USA Basketball, he called Russell Westbrook angry black man. And he said, and Russell Westbrook said, wait, why you call me angry black man? He said, because you're always angry. So, like he told that story before, and it was just like, okay, Alvin Gentry's the greatest. But, yes, I'm happy for New Orleans. I hope Zion flourishes there. I hope he stays away from the fried foods because they can get you.
Do you think there's any chance now that AD stays?
I don't think so. I mean, like, there's a
like
bigger
chance. Like, what percentage?
Chance.
It's gone up, but it's probably not
what,
high.
What, up from 2 to 10?
Yeah, up from 2 to, I'd say 25.
That's solid.
It's something you got to listen to. But here's the problem.
It's better
than
their chances at getting Zion before the lottery starts.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, here's what it comes down to. Does Anthony Davis has no faith, and you can't blame him. No faith in the Pelican organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have faith that David Griffin can change it? The human rabbit's foot. He's won 4 lotteries in the last 9 years.
Did you read the Zach Lowe story about the lottery?
I did.
About how Alvin Gentry got the tie from one of the guys in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That it won the lottery however many times. He got it through David Griffin.
Right.
And he wore that tie.
No one's winning this again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
it's unbelievable.
Does he have faith in David Griffin? The answer's probably not. I mean, David Griffin seems like a solid basketball guy. When he had LeBron James, he won big. When he didn't have LeBron James, they didn't win. So it's not overly complicated. But Anthony Davis has no reason to be confident in the Pelicans. Did you see that stat from 2 or 3 months ago? I forgot who it was. Somebody wrote the story. One of the, Haberstroh or one of those basketball sharp guys about the Charlotte and the Pelicans in the summer of 2012. That was the year that Charlotte went 7-59, worst team in the league. Had a chance to be the worst team of all time. Yet New Orleans won the lottery.
Right, and Charlotte got the number 2.
And Charlotte got number 2 and picked Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah.
New Orleans won the lottery with not a good team, but at least the makings of a team, and added Anthony Davis. So since that day, New Orleans was ahead of Charlotte. New Orleans added Anthony Davis. Charlotte added Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And since that day, Charlotte has won more games than New Orleans has. So that shows you how New Orleans has sort of squandered Anthony Davis. So no reason to be confident that the Pelicans are going to turn it around.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of ridiculous, this whole notion that Zion hadn't hired an agent and he was going to go back to Duke. Like, regardless of who drafts you or who has the chance of drafting you in the NBA, if you're a type of guy that Zion, you don't go back to Duke and risk injury and pass up all that money. And I'm not talking about the contract money. I'm talking about the shoe deal money. Because the shoe deal money is going to be more than the contract money. So, no, you don't go back to Duke if the New Orleans Pelicans have the number one pick. Now, if Cleveland had the number one pick, I might have actually considered it. But New Orleans, he's going to be fine in New Orleans, I assure you.
New Orleans is a cool town. You know better than I do. But my one trip there, I was very impressed.
It's cool. It's
ate a lot.
And I'm not going to compare New Orleans and Cleveland. But I would
feel... It's not a great basketball town, though. And it's not a great basketball culture.
It's a football state.
And it's actually a bad basketball town and a bad basketball culture.
Yeah. They're
they never have cared about the Pelicans. Tier. And they don't... Right, that's exactly right. And... The organization's not good. Even the Pelicans aren't even the most prominent team in their own organization.
No.
No.
They're owned by the Saints.
Yeah.
And they're sort of
And then LSU latched, is more popular.
They're latched on to the Saints, the practice they share a practice facility. They're second class citizens in their own organization.
I'm going to be frank. The Pelicans are probably fourth in the pecking order in Louisiana sports.
What's third?
Probably prep football.
Oh, dang.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
People would pick a prep football game or Jamboree in the Superdome than they would into a Pelicans game.
I can speak of this from direct evidence. When the Hornets moved here after Katrina, literally after 6 hours, but 2 or 3 weeks, the Hornets staff members and salespeople and even the owner, George Shinn, they just walked around with their eyeballs 10 feet wide at just the fervor and the interest in the team, because they'd come from a place that literally didn't care about them. They didn't even barely acknowledge their existence. And they sort of realized, hey, there's places that would love the NBA. They just didn't happen when George Shinn moved the Hornets to New Orleans. He just didn't happen to pick one of those towns that would love the NBA.
I hope they get good. I think Zion is really going to enjoy that town. If there's one thing about New Orleans, when you're good, and this is like a lot of cities in America, but when you're good in a town like New Orleans, people really love you. Like, those people loved Anthony Davis until all this stuff happened. Like, they're going to love Zion Williamson. Kid from the South, seems to be humble. I mean, he's going to be an incredible talent. I think they're really going to take to him as a part of that community. You've seen what's happened with Drew Brees. Guys like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. Like, they've become New Orleans. And I as somebody from there, I think people are going to really embrace Zion. And he would have been embraced anywhere. But I think it's kind of cool that he's going to a place like a New Orleans as opposed to a New York where, like, he wasn't going to need to – like, New York doesn't need a Zion. Like, they're still going to be the Garden. It's still going to be this place where people are still going to go basketball. Like, New Orleans needed that guy, especially because Anthony Davis is kind of –
Maybe Zion can change the New Orleans basketball culture.
If Zion can't, nobody can.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
That's probably right.
And then they might be heading up to a little town in the Pacific Northwest.
Seattle. Oh, Christmas.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Maddie's excited. Yeah, Maddie's excited.
Seattle won the lottery.
Now, wouldn't that be apropos if New Orleans ended up moving to Seattle?
That's right.
Which lost a generational talent in Kevin
Durant. And a young, emerging team. Maybe they get one back. Get the exact same thing back.
It'll be sad for my New Orleans Pelicans.
Your parents could not get to the
games
quite so easy.
But hey, the Grizzlies might be going up there instead of New Orleans. So
that's true. It's a race.
It's a race to the top. No, I thought the lottery was. I mean, of course, the NBA just does such a great job of making anything they put on TV now compelling and interesting. Just the way that they did it this year, you know, smoothing out the odds, making those top three teams have all the same odds. And interestingly enough, the three worst teams don't even get into the top four. It's not going to discourage tanking.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's going to encourage it by more teams.
You wrote about this week.
I mean, the teams that are, if you're Dallas and you're 20 and 28, you know, after 48 games, you're probably going to say, let's not try to go 28-20 in our next, you know, or that's too many games. But let's not try to get to 500 and see what happens. Let's try to lose and see what happens. So you're going to see more teams in tank in midseason. You see a lot of teams tank at the beginning of the season. You're going to see more now join the club in midseason.
They're talking about this on PTI, too, that in years where it's not just a race for one guy, where you have a deeper draft class, that's almost going to encourage tanking more, because it's like, oh, well, we don't need to get the number one pick. Right. We just need to get top five, top ten.
Just exactly need to not make the playoffs is what you need to do. Right. I mean, these teams that are on the cusp of the playoffs, you're going to see them, like Barry said, mid-season, start to say, okay, well, let's sell on this guy. Let's trade this guy. Let's if we know we're going to be an 8 seed, like you might have seen, for instance, and I don't know what the Clippers' pick protections were this year. I think if the Clippers wouldn't have made the playoffs, they would have owed their pick to somebody else or something. But you're going to see a team like the Clippers that was fringe 8 seed in that range that has a team that doesn't really have that star, that knows they're going to be going up against a Golden State. They're probably just going to say, well, crap, the Lakers got into the top four, and they were the team with the 11th best odds of getting the number one pick. So wouldn't we rather have those small odds and being able to make a jump than getting five games out of Golden State in the series? Did the Clippers actually take them to six? The Clippers took them to six, didn't they?
Six.
Yep.
Won twice in Oakland.
Crazy. That actually, even though that's we really knew impressive what was going to happen, that might have been the most exciting.
It was something.
At times, it was the most exciting first round series.
Houston, zero wins in Oakland this postseason. Clippers, two wins in Oakland this postseason.
That's incredible.
Clippers is second. Just kidding.
Clippers is transitive property. Clippers are second best team in the league. Y'all want to talk about anything else lottery? Y'all want to jump into this Billy Donovan stuff?
Huh. We're about out of time, so whatever you want to jump into,
let's get very briefly into the Billy Donovan stuff. As soon as John Beilein went to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the former Michigan coach went to the Cleveland Cavaliers, Billy Donovan immediately emerged as the number one candidate for the University of Michigan job.
That seems to happen a lot.
It happens every year because basically every year that the Thunder gets booted in the first round, people are going to say that Billy Donovan is the number one candidate for whatever the number one head coaching job is in college. We've kind of reiterated this time and time again. Billy Donovan was kind of tired of the recruiting thing. He didn't want to deal with some of the things that came with college coaching, be it recruiting or the scandalous kind of stuff. Billy Donovan ran a clean program in Florida. He's ran a clean program everywhere he's been, whether it's Marshall or Florida, in his career. And Beilein, from what I've read, had some of the similar feelings about going to the NBA. He was tired of the muck. He was tired of the recruiting.
I can see that.
And Beilein's 10 years older than Billy Donovan, so that's probably his last opportunity to get into the pro game. Billy Donovan has the age thing because this is why Billy Donovan is not going to leave the Thunder to take a college job. First of all, I don't think, from everything I've heard, I don't think he's going to college this offseason or whatever. He's going to play out this final year. And then I don't know what's going to happen from there, or if he'll get an extension after the season or whatever. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't even think the Thunder knows what's going to happen yet. But Billy Donovan's young enough to where he doesn't have to leave this job that he has a year left on to go to a job like Michigan. And not that Michigan is not a good job, but in a year from now, there are going to be just as many good jobs as Michigan open. Texas might be open. We don't know what John Calipari is going to do.
They all come open. Look, in the last 16 months, Louisville, UCLA, Ohio State, Michigan.
And frankly, if they know Billy Donovan's available, a job will come open.
Yeah. And look at and the jobs that Coach Eden getting fired. Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, all coached by old guys.
Yes.
They all want to go till they're 96, yes. But guess what? They're not going to be able to. At some point, Duke's going to be open, Carolina's going to be open, Syracuse's going to be open.
Billy Donovan is 51, 2?
He's older than that. Billy Donovan is 80. I think he's 54.
He's 80.
I don't know. I was counting his high school graduation. I think he's 54. I think he's 4 years younger than me.
Which is great because...
It is great because I'm a very young man.
He's basically 20 years younger than Coach Krzyzewski. He's basically 20 years younger than Coach K. Coach K's in like his early 70s. Which is to say that Billy Donovan could take over Duke and coach Duke for 20 years.
This says he's 53.
53. Well, there you go.
So and I'd bet K is 72, 73.
Probably so.
Billy Donovan should not be in a rush to get back to the college ranks.
Oh, but his birthday's May 30th, according to Basketball
Happy
Reference.
Happy birthday. So next week. 2 weeks.
Turn up. The point is, I don't think Billy Donovan is leaving. I don't think the Thunder is going to fire him. Sam Presti already made that pretty clear that, you know, they anticipate him being back, which means that they don't have any plans to fire him. Now, if he were to leave money on the table and walk away, which I don't think he's going to do, hence the anticipation, you leave that open. I thought Sam Presti was weird in saying it that way. But I don't think he's going to do that. I think he'll be back next year. I think the Thunder believes in him and what he's trying to do. I think that's that.
Yeah, well, Michigan's going to hire somebody fairly soon. They're probably – now, let me say this. Every day that goes by, it's more likely he's going to Michigan. But I don't think he's going to Michigan. You ever been there for a basketball game?
Never been to Ann Arbor.
If you go to Michigan, I went to Chrysler Arena in 1996. That was 23 years ago. No, 1997, 22 years ago. It was sort of a dump then. I mean, this is not Allen Fieldhouse. This is not Carmichael Auditorium. This is not, you know, Duke.
You would think with all the money that goes into Michigan that they'd have a better basketball facility. And with the Fab Four tradition.
Yeah.
There
was actually five of them, but that's all right.
Fab Four. Jesus, Eric. What am I doing?
Give me the Fab Four. I'll take the Fab Four. Listen to him on satellite radio every
Fab
chance I
four?
Get.
Fab Four? What was I thinking of? The Fantastic Four?
I don't know. The Beatles.
What did I just cut? Did I cut Chris Webber out?
No,
what?
I think you probably cut
no, I didn't.
Ray out. What's
no,
his name?
I
Ray?
Didn't cut Ray Knight out of it.
Not
That's not
Ray,
Ray
Knight.
Knight. Ray Knight's a baseball coach.
Baseball player married Nancy Lopez. Ray, what was the
We're
guy's
spiraling.
Name? He's from
We're
Texas.
Spiraling.
The fifth guy.
I know Jimmy King.
And John Howard.
God, I'm making myself
Jalen
look
Rose,
so bad right now.
And Chris Webber. Who's the fifth one? Ray.
This is awful.
He wasn't all. You know what the truth was? They probably were a Fab Four. The fifth guy wasn't all that great.
We're just changing it.
I was gonna cut C Web out because
right,
he wasn't
because
a
he
part
didn't
of the
stay
documentary.
3 years.
Well, and he wasn't a part of the documentary because he didn't want to participate in the documentary. Good gracious, I feel terrible for not knowing this. There are people screaming at me on the
Screamsville.
Podcast. Screamsville. Ray Jackson.
Ray Jackson. Jeez, he was a Texan.
Louise.
A Texas man.
I called him Ray Knight. I wanted to call him Ray Spalding.
I don't know Ray Spalding.
I think he was a college player in the last 10 years somewhere.
All right.
Comical. No, Billy's not going to Michigan. He's not this year. He's not going to Michigan.
And if he does, we got something to write about. And he waited till after the Thunder a Day series was over. So everything's good. Everything's fantastic.
Well, we still got a couple more days.
Yeah. Amadou Diallo and Patrick Patterson.
Yeah,
Billy Donovan.
I'm supposed to write about Billy for Sunday, so he's still got
a
couple days.
If he goes to Michigan, guess what? We'll write about him for Sunday.
Yeah.
We got all the boxes checked.
Well, this is what's going to happen. He's going to let me write about him for Sunday, and then Monday morning, breaking news. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's a lot better than Saturday at 7 o'clock.
That's true.
That's true. So, yeah, if he bounces, just do it in the morning.
Billy, if you're listening.
If you're listening, Billy, which we know you are. We know you're really, really listening. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We'll be back periodically in the off season.
Next week, no reason. There's always something to talk about.
There's always something to talk about. We'll be talking about Billy Donovan, probably going to Michigan next week. Or John Calipari will retire and Billy will take over Kentucky. Something like that. Yeah.
Maybe he'll go to Providence. Hire Doris Burke as his assistant.
That would
be amazing.
Or hire her as the women's coach. That'd be cool.
Needs to hire Doris as an assistant for the Thunder.
That would be cool, too.
I would love that.
Sign me up for that.
She wouldn't say.
Or how about.
We wouldn't be able to talk to her.
No. How about. Better because I'm starstruck every time I see her. So
let's fix that problem. Billy go to Michigan, just hire Doris as the head coach. Problem solved.
Everybody's happy.
Providence pipeline over here.
Until Russell Westbrook's taking the same exact shots he was taking for Scottie Brooks and Billy Donovan under Doris.
Doris is a very deliberate talker. She knows exactly what she wants to say and how to say it. Maybe that's what Russell Westbrook needs.
If that's allowed to happen.
That's a podcast for another day.
Pod. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back probably next week, like Barry said. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and downloading on Apple Podcasts. And enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you later.